Welcome back in Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer, Joe Kelly. We definitely put ourselves behind on this one.
Just
very much on purpose.
We had to.
We had to get Lee Corso's final pick.
We wouldn't have made it back in time if we took a commercial break.
Correct.
So there was no...
No, that's the true meaning of stretch the break. And I... Look, there's two sides to this. There was no way to hate on Corso's pick either way. Zach and I have been texting each other and tweeting each other about this now, though. I would have called Corso a god if he picked Texas at midfield at Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
But
Fox also showed it, by the way.
That's good on them, mm-hmm. Smart by them to do that. Because if there's something I don't need to hear, it's Dave Portnoy making a pick for Texas Ohio State.
I was just about to say that.
Lee Corso to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But the part of it is also he picked, and he mentions it's his first love. The first pick he ever made was Ohio State. And the other part about Corso's picks that's really impressive, though, that needs to be stated, Lee Corso typically was picking the marquee matchup of college football that weekend, right? Or wherever they were on campus. For years. This first pick's in, like, I think 89.
Yeah.
To do this for this long and have a win percentage of 66.5, doing this as long as you could every week since 1989, and you have a win percentage of 66, that tells you man knows ball.
Right.
You're hitting two out of three picks when you're picking up mascot heads.
It was 1996, but still.
Oh, sorry. I know that he's been in it for a long time, but it's probably like it's the fact that he's been making these picks for so long, though. 96. That's incredible. Still, nonetheless.
30 years. Just under.
30 years.
Right? Yeah.
Just about 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just as long as the Dallas Cowboys have been out of the Super Bowl. Or out of the NFC Championship.
Out of the NFC Championship. Just out of the conversation.
Yes.
For much of it.
Oh, Urban Meyer picked Ohio State. No way. I love, though, that you managed to get a guy, though, that hit 66% of his picks. For 30 years. That's a man that knows ball. I will miss seeing Lee Corso up there. I love that Reese Davis, during college game day, joked that he should do what he did in Houston,
mm-hmm.
which was effectively swear life on the air.
Yeah.
took the Ohio State through it. Ah,
that would have been something if that was able to happen on the last one.
If you did that at midfield in Columbus,
mm-hmm.
with, like, for example, the Texas head, that would have been great too. But no, you want to stay professional, poetic about it, and like, hey, I know you're having fun in that moment, but you make it poetic in the way that he said it. Give me my first love. That's cool. It's awesome. It's something that you cherish. And we're officially four and a half minutes from kickoff there with Texas, Ohio State.
Ohio State currently running out of the tunnel. Fireworks going off. We're back.
It's a spectacle.
It's crazy.
I might have my bias against Ohio State, but man, Columbus is a cool place.
I agree. Just don't plant a flag in the middle of the stadium. That's all I can say.
Columbus is Ohio State, though. Like, it is the identity of the entire city. So much so, like, if you're a Blue Jacket, you can just lay
low. You
can
kick rocks.
You can lay low.
Yeah. Like, they care more about the college football players.
And that's nothing against the Columbus Blue Jackets.
No,
it's not. Just what
it speaks to how big college football is there in the program they've built.
And the program that they've built there, the history that Columbus, Ohio has with the Buckeyes. And here you are, another blue blood. You've got Texas coming in here to Ohio State. And this is something that Zach and I are in full agreement with. We talk about it a lot during the Extra Point Show. And Joe, I want your take on this.
Mm-hmm.
Neutral site games, get rid of them.
Oh, I agree. Home field advantage.
I need to know
only
number
in
one Texas.
Exigent circumstances. Say there's, like, thinking NFL-wise.
Bowl games is one thing.
That's different.
Yes.
Different. You should not get home field advantage in a bowl game.
Correct.
But a big game in your house? Absolutely.
It hits different.
Yeah.
Looking at the fanfare right now in a non-conference matchup is cool.
Uh-huh. Number one and number three seed going at it.
And it's a non-conference matchup. That's the other thing about it. Like, typically, you've already got that hate. You've already got that hatred. If it's a conference game, you're going at each other.
Mm-hmm.
And you hate each other. Like, obviously, the game.
Well,
the big game every year.
Yeah.
The big game is the big game. Don't plant a flag at midfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you made mention of it that last year it turned into...
It was
chaos.
Yeah, absolute chaos because a flag got planted.
I'm sorry. Don't lose to Michigan.
And don't abandon your game plan that works just to try and stop the one thing Michigan can do.
Don't try to Michigan with Michigan.
Yeah.
Instead, just play your own game.
Exactly.
And you would have had them. That was the weirdest thing.
It was so self-inflicted, and then that turned into that. It was a nightmare.
Madness. But like, there's hatred. And now, though, you've got a non-conference game to start the year between the 1 and 3 teams.
I'm just so excited to watch Arch Manning play football right now. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yes.
Just seeing some of these highlights, they're pretty remarkable. And if he upped his game at all, I'm excited.
We'll see what happens there.
It's crazy to me, though. One point about stadiums in college. This stadium is larger than the current Highmark Stadium, the new Highmark Stadium, than like most of the NFL stadiums.
College football stadiums, the big programs.
It's unbelievable.
It is big.
100,000 fans in there, plus.
And again, this is the identity of the city. And even the smaller college towns.
Yes.
It is the identity.
Right. They don't have, I know Columbus, you have the Blue Jackets
Columbus is a major city.
Yeah.
It's got the size to it. Austin, Texas, the same thing.
But even like Alabama.
Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
That their blood is the Crimson Tide.
And it's the one thing that I lament about UB is that it is in Bill's country.
And that's the problem. They would definitely, it is a MAC team again, but you would be able to get a better following. And like I've gotten into it just working around it, right?
Right.
Having to produce the games and do this. Like we have to talk about them. And they're interesting now with Pete Lembo. But it is tough sometimes to really dive into them when the Bills play on Sunday, and that's all everyone's thinking about around here. Because that is the product in town. That they're the number one product in town, in the city, in the area.
Yeah.
For half of the state. Until you hit Syracuse, that's when it flips to Jets and Giants.
Like Syracuse and the Carrier Dome is a vibe of all itself.
Mm-hmm.
Hell, going to a Purdue game in Purdue was an entire vibe. That like it's the peak college town moment for you.
Mm-hmm. Like, look at that. The aerial shot right now, just how many people, how many bodies are
that
in there.
That stadium is...
It's more packed than any NFL stadium I've seen from an overhead shot. And the Bills are downsizing with the new Highmark Stadium. You're losing 10,000 seats, roughly.
Yeah. It is insane. But like, yeah, I go to a game at Purdue, and it's West Lafayette, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
Not something to be confused with a major city. And that was an entire vibe of its own.
Yeah.
Like,
I can imagine.
It is. College football is its wonder, and we're about to have kickoff there. No, we're not giving play-by-play, but I just wanted to talk more about college football until this kickoff happens because of the fact that it just feels right. And while we are Bills heavy and everything like that here at the station, I do think it is nice to talk about the monumental sports events that go on. And the true start of week one of the college football season is one of those things that needs to be talked about. Oh my God, what a clearing block.
We got to return to the 30 to start. Look at that, 29.
That's appreciative right there. But yeah, it's, I know, like we're going to get to predictions and division picks and
big
everything
NFL
like that.
Stuff. Yeah.
But, and I know it's the second to last week before the Bills start, like the second to last show for us before the Bills start.
Mm-hmm. We got one more.
Got one more, but we're at Riverworks next week, so it's not even going to be the same. We're not even in studio.
No. That'll be fun, though. Lots of Bills Mafia going to be around there. That'll be a lot of fun.
It is still about like college football, and its first weekend of it is a vibe of its own.
Is that when football's back? Could that be considered?
It's technically the desert until that Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Like the end of the preseason and then the start of like week one of college football.
Is Could where college football count, fix. Though?
It's where you get that fix.
Right. But is like technically when we say football is back, we're talking about the NFL. Does college football counter into that?
I think it factors in.
Okay.
And I think it should factor in. Is the quality of play going to be the same? No. You're talking about amateurs, teenagers even.
Mm-hmm. Some 18-year-olds, barely.
Right. Whereas in the NFL, it is the best of the best. Like people that always say, I love the joke of like, oh, Alabama could beat the insert team in the bottom of the NFL standings. And you're like, no, you're wrong. Like incorrect. This is not going to happen. It's not hot. It's not possible. You're facing the best of the best, and they're the best players.
There's a reason they're on the 53-man roster. You just saw it go down from 90 and even more before right. that. Like, that's not how that goes.
Brutal.
This is going to be fun to watch. I'm excited. It's meaningful football action. So if you don't have it on, I would.
Yes. Take it in.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, take it in. It's something for you in the
background.
As
an objective fan of the game, like me, I don't follow a specific team. I just enjoy college football.
Right.
It's the way to go on a Saturday, absolutely. But it just makes that itch even stronger for Bills football. I'm not going to lie to you. Like
it makes the itch stronger for the NFL season to begin.
And it's coming, like you said, Thursday and Friday. We get the two Super Bowl appearers, right? And then we're into the regular season. Sunday all day, and the Bills play Sunday night. Bam, we're back against the Baltimore Ravens. And I am scared for that game.
I'm not scared. Mostly because I do like what Bruce Nolan had to say in the last hour, which was more or less, week one has tricked a lot of people before. The Bills have lost to Zach Wilson, okay?
Yes.
The Bills have lost to Zach Wilson.
And they had a very slow start to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals last year.
Yeah. Like, once you get to this team lost to Zach Wilson in a season opener once, like, I'm okay. It's fine. We're fine. Like, and the Ravens are a good team.
Very good. They've even built a little more in the offseason.
They're like the Bills. And this is where like the beef between like Bills fans and Ravens fans gets out of hand with like the MVP stuff and like how
that was bad.
Online both fan bases are sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, annoyingly so. I get it. You're typically going to look at your peers, your rivals, and go, you suck. But the problem with that is you're both staring at Kansas City in front of you and they're laughing at all of you.
Yep.
You should look at the other and go, I don't care which one of us makes it, but one of us has got to do it. That's how the fan bases should treat each other between Buffalo and Baltimore. Because at some point, one of you's got to do it. One of you should do it. One of you needs to do it. For my sanity and probably for anyone else's within fandom of the National Football League, somebody's got to do it.
If you look at the general consensus last season of the Chiefs making it again, it was nauseating across every fan base outside of
Kansas
City.
The Chiefs were winning last year. Holy.
Could not stop them. The voodoo magic was strong with them last year. And then they get blown out in the Super Bowl, destroyed by a four-man rush of the Philadelphia Eagles. And now that's the model, right? Like, you kind of look at that, and they're going to try and prevent that from happening again. But it's got to happen. And their division, I think, actually gives you the best chance to hop them in the AFC conference standings.
Yes.
With the way the Broncos look. The Chargers could be frisky. They could split a game with the Chiefs, right? Like, even the Raiders, Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, they might be able to put a good game together with Ashton Jeanty. Who knows?
And Brock Bowers there.
Yes. You never know.
They have some high-end talent.
The AFC West is tough.
The AFC West is tough, and we will talk more about our division picks and everything like that coming up. But with the Bills and the Ravens, it is, you two have been here knocking at the door for so long now that neither of you has broken through, and now you're looking and going, what the hell is wrong with you? Cincinnati managed to do it on accident once.
Yeah, accident being the key word there.
And you need to figure a way out for one of these two teams to do that.
Especially while the Bengals are kind of
taking themselves out of the race.
Yes, with their way their defense is, even with Hendrickson. Look at what that did to them last season.
With their management style and how they've been.
Yes.
They have taken themselves out of contention.
Joe Burrow is being held back by his front office and everything right
yes.
now.
Yes. Like,
take advantage of this opportunity. You've had it for years now.
You hear the saying sometimes, like, Josh Allen's being wasted. And then I look at Cincinnati and go,
Joe Burrow's being wasted.
Joe Burrow's actually the one that's being wasted.
Yes.
He's the one that made a Super Bowl.
He put up MVP numbers last season, and they didn't make the playoffs. That tells you everything you need to know.
They missed the play. It's Drew Brees
mm-hmm.
with the Saints. Sometimes those things would happen with him.
Sometimes. That was his identity, right? Like, I feel like it was. It was tough because Brees is a great quarterback, But look, Burrow, like you said, it's a similar situation they're dealing with. And what is Zach Taylor going to do? If they don't make the playoffs this season, that's it.
Right.
Then they're going to restart.
They need to restart with a new head coach. And
that's going
to have
time.
Joe Burrow and needing a new staff is kind of embarrassing for an organization.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Bills, say what you want about Sean McDermott. Say what has happened in the past. 13 seconds is a blight that many people, I love they're going for 4th-and-2 here.
This is college football.
Second time in this drive they've gone for it on 4th down.
Oh, no. Missed it. They did not get it this time.
Turnover.
I feel like the run was too obvious of a choice there.
I know Arch should have held it, but whatever.
I don't know if it was. I don't know if that was a keeper option or not.
Maybe.
But back to the with the Bengals, the fact that in Sean McDermott, he's made some critical errors. There have been games that have highlighted it. Obviously, 13 seconds being one of them, or any game against the Chiefs in the postseason. Really, you could pick your lot. Pick from the lot of them at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you can remain confident that he is going to give you a floor, and that floor is winning the AFC East and getting at minimum to the divisional game.
Right.
If not the conference championship, which, as we talked about and dunked on a team in Dallas, apparently harder to do than you'd think.
Yeah. I do think it gets to a point, though, where that could get...
Can it get stale?
Yeah.
Yes, but it doesn't look like it has.
I think that's objective.
It's objective, but it's also dependent on the person. But if you are upset about McDermott at this point, would you rather trust the devil you know versus the devil you don't? And that is the one thing that will kind of slow me down now on any sort of, the Bills should move on from him. Who am I getting that I would trust?
You remember earlier I said there was something I wanted to bring up in a break? This is exactly that. And I think me personally, looking at it again, if it's a divisional round exit, that's a step back in an earlier playoff exit. You are on almost Josh Allen's 10th season at this point, right? You're past the window of when a quarterback and coach normally go to a Super Bowl together. You're far past that. And I know that's a metric. You shouldn't die by the metrics. I understand that. And I get what you're saying. Trust the devil you know versus the devil you don't. But a funny thing, just a really funny thing, and I don't necessarily believe this 100%.
Oh, boy.
Joe Brady's getting a head coaching job in 2026 if he does the same thing with the Bills offense that he did.
I now understand where you're going with this.
A big promote from within organization like the Bills, right?
If they want to keep Brady, they'd have to get rid of McDermott.
They'd have to get rid of McDermott and keep Brady as the head coach.
It's the Brian Daboll conversation all over again.
Exactly.
But welcome back to the devil you don't.
Yep. Yep.
Because Brian Daboll was seen as a slam dunk thing, and even conversations here years ago were about maybe they should just retain Brian Daboll and fire Sean McDermott.
Right. I remember that after 13 seconds and all that.
What has Brian Daboll done in New York?
He made the playoffs once. That's it. He's essentially, he hasn't done anything. I'm not saying Joe Brady would, like I said. I'm just saying it's an interesting thought. Of do you try the new thing because it's already in your house?
But again, it is still, are you a great coordinator, bad coach? Who am I getting in here that I can trust right now? And is that being scared a little bit? Am I playing into the fears? Well, yes.
Right. Some the coaches and the staff, I feel like Brandon Bean knows when to take a gamble, right?
And I don't think this is the right one, though.
I'm not saying it is. I'm just saying it would be really interesting if that does happen. Because, if they go out in the divisional round this season, that the calls are out, man. They're calling for the end. They're calling for a new person.
I will say, if it's I won't say it's the divisional round. I think it's if you lose to the Chiefs again, you've just got a problem that you're not solving.
Mm-hmm.
And like maybe it turns into this bittersweet Andy Reid sort of thing. But right. Andy Reid even had crash out seasons where they've won like five or six games.
Oh, yeah. Well, it took him. He didn't win anything in Philadelphia.
Exactly.
So it took him to go to another team. Maybe it takes McDermott to go to a different team. Maybe it would. And then someone else comes in here, like Sirianni, like Doug Peterson, and takes the team to the Super Bowl.
And again, I want to answer that question if and only if it gets to a certain result.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not ready. Until then, I'm not ready for it.
Right.
Not only am I not ready for it, I also kind of don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But it is more or less, I trust the floor of Sean McDermott more than the ceiling of another person. Because I watch Ken Dorsey get promoted to offensive coordinator, and I'm pulling out whatever hair I have left on my head.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah. That was diabolical. That there's a reason he's no longer here. But even it'll be interesting to see like what Ben Johnson's able to do this season following the exit from Detroit, right? To go be a head coach somewhere else.
We've got a defensive showdown in Columbus, by the way. It's another 4th-and-1, this time for Ohio State. They get stuffed.
Yeah.
On 3rd down.
That's a good stop, too.
And they're right at midfield. They're like at the 49. So
depending on how the season ends, though, I do think it will be somewhat of a conversation because I feel like at that point, enough is enough. Like we've got to figure something out.
Is there time for an uncomfortable conversation? Yes. I'm also not ready to even think about it or care to think about it until we even get to that result.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm thinking
the conversation, though, would get more intense if Baltimore breaks through and not you.
Well, that'll be the tell, right?
That if another, will be the tell.
If, even if Cincinnati comes back somehow and they actually put a season together and they bunny hop you,
mm-hmm.
That's a problem. That's a problem.
Exactly.
So you're going to, it's planting a seed, this conversation.
Wow, and Ohio State doesn't make it for theirs either. So
2 turnovers on downs to start this game.
I love the boldness, though. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm. It's a non-conference game.
Oh, the tight end dropped it.
Ooh. Mark Andrews?
That was a strike.
But yeah, I it's more planting a seed than anything right now. I know there's nothing to go on.
I don't even think there's a seed that needs to be planted unless we see the one thing that causes everyone to lose their minds all over again, which is losing to Kansas City.
Well, even if you lose to Baltimore or Cincinnati, I think it's a conversation.
I think it's if Baltimore breaks through and you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Because say the Chiefs, heaven forbid, say the Chiefs make another Super Bowl.
Oh, God.
Then you're just looking at one of the greatest teams of all time.
Mm-hmm. Well, then they would match the Bills and Super Bowls appeared in, and they would have won 2 of them.
And the problem, though, is it's not a Bills problem. It's a conference problem.
Yeah.
Are you still looking at conversations about maybe you should move on? Maybe.
Well, at that point, if you're not making it, you've got to try something different.
Or it also is maybe you stay the course because you still are one of the best to do it. And effectively, like this year, like you retain your coach, you retain your quarterback, you retain your GM because you know you have your chance and you're taking your shots and you're coming damn close. But if the Chiefs get in the way again and take the AFC, you're just looking at one of the most inconvenient things of all time. And mm-hmm. you're dealing with it, but everyone has to deal with it. If Baltimore breaks through, then it's a you problem. And conversely, if Buffalo breaks through in Baltimore, it's a you problem.
Right.
That's when I'm more willing to have that discussion.
Yeah. I'm just in the mindset of division titles are awesome and all, but if you can't get over the hump eventually, you got to ask questions at some point.
Here's to hoping we never have to talk about it.
Right.
803-0550, the number to call. Joe Kelly, Derek Kramer, we're here with you for another hour and a half here on Sports Talk Saturday on a fine, not quite fall, but it damn sure feels like it fall afternoon here on WGR.